My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
All right, big story of the day. Deshaun Watson's contract is restructured. Tyler Huntley not on the team. Deonta Foreman getting set. The Browns are practicing, and that means...
Well, we got to get out to Berea to talk to our buddy Daryl Ryder, who, of course, is powered by Scheibe Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. What's up, D?
Hello, Daryl.
Hello, boys.
How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You sound good. You sound like you're back into 100%, my friend.
I'm nowhere near 100%, but we're getting there.
All right. Well, you're game ready. I think you're ready for Dallas.
I mean,
I'm just telling
you. D's get degrees, okay? We all know this.
I'm aware.
Daryl, let's start here. Ready? Deshaun Watson, contract restructure. What does it really mean?
Well, the Browns have a pretty sizable cap overage going into 2025. So, you know, Andrew Berry, I think, really tried to resist doing that restructure, but they kind of need to do it so that they can operate next year. That's what this is all about. It's not so much this year. Obviously, they have plenty of room to handle their business for the remainder of this fiscal year. But when you look ahead to 2025, things get really, really tight. So it's, you know, the standard restructure that we have seen already, basically all but the veteran minimum of his $46 million salary gets converted into a bonus so that they can spread that out over the length of the deal, frees up nearly $36 million in space for this year that they can roll over next year. And, you know, from my perspective, I just think it really puts even more pressure, though, on the whole Watson situation for him to not only be available this season and healthy, but play well, because the goal for the Browns is to extend him. And that's ultimately what's going to help them from a long-term perspective. If they don't extend him, that's when they, you know, run into the problems with, you know, potential big cap charges, similar to what the Denver Broncos experienced with the whole Russell Wilson situation. So it's kind of imperative that, you know, Watson be the player the Browns thought that they were getting from the Houston Texans this year.
So, Daryl, you see this restructure. I didn't want to call it newfound cap space because it's kind of always been there if they wanted to yank the lever. You do not see this as a new shiny toy finding its way to Cleveland, whether it is a left tackle from San Francisco or possibly a wide receiver from San Francisco.
No, this is about creating the roster flexibility that they're going, or I should say, the cap flexibility that they're going to need in 2025. This is not about the shiny new toy, because they already had about $30 million in cap space, so they could have done the shiny new toy without having to restructure the contract. This is not about that. It is just about setting the books up for the 2025 fiscal league year.
Daryl, I mean, we've been around this long enough. When fans hear the story, they're like, oh, they can go out and get another player. I know Dan kind of alluded to it, but when you hear the news, it like, I think fans are going, oh, are they going to go out? Is it, they're getting ready for, I think I actually saw a reporter put out there, oh, look what the Browns did for their cap space. They must be getting ready to do something big. And then,
yeah, okay.
Let's be honest, the big thing was Tyler Huntley got released, right?
No, the big thing was they re-signed Dante Foreman. That's the new player.
Man, that's pretty shiny. Man, he's not bad. He carried the ball. He's had some good runs. I like Dante Foreman.
I did not appreciate that one, but okay.
Wait, so is he not the emergency running back then?
No.
You must listen to the podcast about emergency players if you get a chance. It's always Game Day in Cleveland on the Odyssey app. Daryl and I, it was an impressive argument that we had on the podcast yesterday.
I don't know if it was an argument, but I'll say this. I'm sad to see the pearl clutching end over the quarterback situation today. I was actually rooting for them to go into next week with four quarterbacks just to drive certain people absolutely bananas for a few more days.
That's not me, just so you know that.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
No shade thrown at, okay. at Andy Vasquez.
All right, so Daryl, they're going to walk into the season with three quarterbacks. They're going to walk into the season with three running backs, and everything is it seem like everything else is set, or do you expect a little bit more movement over the weekend?
It wouldn't surprise me if they added a third tight end. I mean, they added a couple to the practice squad this week, but I would say tight end maybe is the one position to keep an eye on as far as a potential roster adjustment goes. But I think otherwise, yeah, they're pretty well set. I mean, they were not awarded any players off waivers on Wednesday. They did not lose any players on waivers Wednesday. So, yeah, look, I mean, I think what fans need to understand is that the Browns are no longer in a situation where they got to go claim 10 players on waivers to fill out their roster. The roster's good. The roster has some meat and some depth to it. So there's no reason to be sitting on the edge of the seats waiting for a waiver claim of a player that fans might think is going to come in here and save the season when there's an obvious reason that player was on waivers to begin with. So the Browns are significantly past, that exercise in roster building, and it's just really it's about fine-tuning a roster position here and there as opposed to, making these bulk moves that we've seen them make in years past.
Daryl, how healthy is Deshaun Watson as we head into this season?
I think he's ready to go. I mean, that's the messaging that's coming from the organization. They feel he's healthy and ready to roll. Week one against Dallas, he's been practicing this week. No limitations that I'm aware of. So, yeah, I mean, it's, as I said earlier, it starts week one, the big year for Deshaun, to show that he was not only worth the trade but worth the contract that he's, been given. And the salary cap gymnastics that Andrew Berry has been performing the last couple of years with that contract. They need him to be healthy. They need him to play well, and they need to be able to extend his contract at some point so that they can kind of keep this window of opportunity to contend wide open.
Our Cleveland sports reporter, Daryl Ryder, joining us on the North Olmsted Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram hotline. Of course, all of his hits powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Daryl, how is the offensive line starting to look, and are we close to seeing Jedrick Wills starting at left tackle against the Cowboys?
You are closer to seeing Jack Conklin start at left tackle than you are Jedrick Wills at left tackle. Because Jedrick Wills is not practicing. Therefore, he's not close.
He gets.
So that's where we're at there. But the fact that Conklin is practicing, he didn't practice yesterday. He's back today. They're taking it easy on him. Let's be honest about this week, really, in the grand scheme of things, doesn't really matter. This is more about just kind of getting your work in, fine-tuning your things. Game prep starts next week, but it really looks like they are preparing Jack Conklin to to start at left tackle in week one.
Okay, I just want to get you on the record. You think they're done? Roster set for the first game of the season, right?
Well, I mean, I think that there might be one or two moves that get made, but I don't think that they're going to be seismic, earth-shattering moves. And really, like I said earlier, Andy, I think that if there is a move for them to make, it may be to add a third tight end to the mix. But from my perspective, yeah, barring an injury situation where they have to do something, I kind of feel like that this roster, it's never set, but you know they're in pretty good shape.
Light tinkering.
Yeah, that's one way to put it.
Yeah. So, how do you think Browns fans should feel with the idea that Jack Conklin's going to be playing left tackle, a position he's never played in the NFL?
Yeah, I mean, he played it in college, though. I think they should feel pretty good because it's a lot better than the alternatives, right?
Yep.
I mean,
it's a good point.
Can anyone watch the preseason? I don't blame you if you didn't, but I'm just saying. Like,
including all four quarters of the late game. Daryl, I watched that too.
Yeah, what are they going to do? They don't have four quarterbacks for four quarters now. They're going to have to – I mean, Deshaun Watson's going to have to stretch this thing out. He's going to have to play at least two.
No, they're going to need him to play all four.
Okay, I hope so. We hope so. Daryl, here, I do want to ask you this just a little bit off the cuff too. Today is the Fanniversary. As you know, 13 years. You have been a gigantic part of the Fan since our first day on the air. As you reflect on our 13th birthday, what goes through your mind, Mr. Daryl Ryder?
I'm getting old.
No, that's true. We already knew that, though.
Hey, a lot has happened over 13 years. You know, obviously out here in Berea, it's, you know, been a never-ending cycle of change up until really Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry took this thing over. Now the Browns are in a pretty good spot and, you know, have some organizational stability. They've got a good roster. It just so happens to be that, like, the rest of the AFC North is really good, which kind of, you know, isn't that great. But, you know, the Cavs won a championship. LeBron came back. I don't think anyone thought that that was possible when he went to Miami in the first place there. But, yeah, a lot of stuff has happened over the years. We've seen some stuff, Baskin.
Yes, we have. Unfortunately, it shows how long we've been here. But that's all right. I get it. You weren't going to say the greatest highlight of the 13 years is it's always game day in Cleveland? I'm devastated.
I was going to leave that to you.
No. I leave you the honors.
Oh, please. Modesty and promotion is Yes. Oh so ugly on all of us.
Yes.
All right. The last question that I've got for you, Daryl. Denzel Ward, it's sounding like he's starting to practice in the final stages of the protocol. Are we going to see him on Sunday against the Dallas Cowboys? And also, do you think we're going to see some of the members of the Cleveland Browns organization wearing the Guardian caps during games?
The Guardian caps, that I don't know. I have questions about the Guardian caps because they've been wearing them and they've been having guys get hurt wearing them. And so I don't know how effective they've been. As far as Denzel Ward goes, we're going to hear from Denzel Ward today. So I'm guessing he's going to play against the Dallas Cowboys next week. So, you know, it's obviously there's some questions to be asked there. Just from a human being standpoint, this is his fifth known concussion since he's been in the NFL. That doesn't take into account any concussions he may or may not have sustained while he was at Ohio State. Also, you know, is a high school football player. So, you know, there are, I think I'm anticipating some questions being asked about his long-term future today, more so than the immediate future. But my expectation is that Denzel Ward will be playing week one against the Cowboys.
All right, we're looking forward to hearing that a little bit later on in the show. Happy Fanniversary. Thank you very much, Daryl.
Thanks, D.
You bet, guys.
All right, he is Daryl Ryder, our Browns beat reporter, and he always joins us throughout the week, and we love having him on. He's Dan Menigan. I'm Andy Baskin, and Jeff Phelps is off today.
I would not go make your custom Brandon Ayuk jersey. That's how I would respond to any fan that's out there when it comes to the what Daryl just told us about the new cap restructuring of Deshaun Watson.
Because I'm not going to lie, I'm sure that it went through a lot of people's heads. They were like, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute. They can get Brandon Ayuk. So they've got this now, and they don't have to give up Amari Cooper to do it?
Hold on.
I like that thought.
Let me run to the shop. Hey, Adi, where's the Y? Is it A-I-Y or A-Y-I?
That ain't happening.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. Unless you want something today. Really funny to, you know, everybody can kind of point and laugh. Like, oh, yeah, I remember that. That was fun. You know, it's like those people walking around with Joe Thomas Bronco jerseys.
Oh, yeah. Remember that? Yeah. How many of those do you think exist?
2, 3. And those people, you know, it's probably one of those, they wear them, and those people, like, there's some football nerds that, like, give them a handshake for that one. I'm like, just well done. Very well done. Or the, you know, anybody with a Mike Piazza Florida Marlins shirt, kind of the same general idea when he was there for a cup of coffee before getting traded to the Mets.
There's plenty of those. I can think of Indians/Guardians jerseys that
Pablo Sandoval. I think for a while somebody had a Pablo Sandoval jersey that they were walking around with that they had custom made.
That would be pretty good.
Because he was, I mean, gosh, I think he was an Indian for like an hour before they ended up just releasing him. So anyway, yeah, interesting stuff coming out of Berea. So real quick, let's get training camp update.
Countdown to the season opener brought to you by Classic Chevy and Classic Ford in Minner.
So this was interesting, Andy, and training camp taking place today. We'll hear from some Browns players later on. We also have Kevin Stefanski. When he hits the podium, we will have that live for you here on your home of the Browns, 92.3 The Fan. So we'll keep you up to date on everything going on there. Probably right in that 12:40, 1 o'clock area is when we expect everything to take place. We'll keep you in the loop there. So James Palmer was on Bleacher Report. James Palmer, former NFL Network, now doing covering the NFL for Fantasy Underdog, did a Bleacher Report sit down where he answered a whole bunch of questions, and Deshaun Watson came up.
The arm is good. They are completely confident in the arm. They don't think there's any issues with Deshaun Watson's arm. The other part that I think is the positive is they really do think the last 2 weeks, Deshaun Watson has found his groove and settled in and gotten comfortable in this new Ken Dorsey system and kind of has a feel for it. That really wasn't the case in the earlier portion of camp. So these last 2 weeks have been very encouraging to the Browns brass, to my understanding. And that's a really good thing because this is a new system, but it also fits some of the things that he's been used to. Ken Dorsey's kind of bringing in a lot more of that shotgun stuff, the RPO stuff that comes out of running out of the gun and the run game that actually happens out of him operating out of shotgun. And that does show us some of the comfort level. Now, are the Browns well aware with him not playing a single preseason snap, which they thought was going to happen in the third preseason game, which also made us kind of have some alarm bells go off about why he wasn't playing? It was a little bit more about the guys around him. And obviously, they think they've seen a lot of stuff over the last 2 weeks that gives them some positive thoughts. The Browns do believe there are going to be some rough patches, that there's going to be some rough patches in the early portion of the season, because everybody's learning something new and they haven't played in a game with Deshaun Watson. So they are well aware that that is something that could be the case, but they do overall feel really good about the situation that they're in. And that's really important because they paid him a lot of money and they haven't really gotten the return yet. And this is a team that, if you look at them, could very easily be a deep playoff contender, and very easily you could see them taking a step back. Like, you could see both of those very easily.
That, my friends, from James Palmer, is pretty much Browns fans' Xanax, right? You want to talk about something that'll make you feel good about the season? It's going to take away all your emotion and calm you down if you're a little stressed out about what's going on with the team. To listen to what James Palmer just said right there was so soothing, because I think you're taking somebody who's not into the day-to-day mix, had an opportunity to see what was going on, stepped back from the situation, looked at what he was seeing, and said, hey, man, you got something good going on there in Cleveland. This could be great. And by the way, your quarterback that people are questioning, yeah, we get it. We understand the fact that he didn't play in the preseason. Totally understand that. And that could make things a tiny bit rocky to start things off. But big picture, man, what he just sold you was like drinking a couple beers at the bar, because you're feeling pretty good. Just put your key.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Geez, boy.
The fact that in the last 2 weeks they feel comfortable with how the offense has looked makes you smile. You can't help but that, because everything that you've seen and everything we've seen in preseason, now granted, Deshaun Watson not on the field for any of that, the word clunky continues to keep coming up. It looked disjointed.
He didn't sound clunky. like he thought they were clunky the last 2 days, or the couple days that he's been there.
Right.
I didn't think he looked clunky the day I was out there.
Really?
I thought he looked fine, and that was early in camp. And I was like, you know what? He doesn't – like, the thing that bothered me when we first started playing here was that he kept throwing the ball into the ground.
Yeah.
And something was off, and it just didn't look right. And it was just – he didn't look like – he looked like a quarterback that was trying to force things so much that it was just out of rhythm, out of sync, and just like – it just didn't look right. That's not the guy I saw at camp. It's not the guy I saw.
Good, because like we had heard it from a couple different places, and hey, all of our beat reporters do an excellent job. I remember like Charles Robinson coming on with us and going, hey, it's vanilla, but didn't look all that pretty, you know, when he popped in for joint practices.
Yeah, but
we
it's
heard it from, yeah. It, and again, these people are there parachuting in and then right. taking off the next day and, you know, have a couple conversations, all that kind of stuff. And it just, then you would see it in the preseason, and granted, not Watson at the helm. But you'd see it in the preseason, and you were like, this looks really disjointed. This looks really ugly. And so, again, no Cooper, no Judy, no Watson. Offensive line super banged up throughout the way. We all know that. But hearing that clicked in the last 2 weeks, well, that's music to your ears. The only thing that came out of that that scares me in any way, shape, or form, it's basically like, we'll take your analogy of being at the bar, had three beers, I feel great now. The only thing that made the barstool wobble a little bit for me, where I got, you know, I got the uneven legs going.
Oh, when they spun you around in the chair a lot of times, that's not good for you either.
No, but more like, you know how you always end up either with the table that rocks and you got to put your foot on it, or you end up with the barstool where one leg's a little shorter than the other one.
No, just ask for some coasters and put it underneath there.
All right,
the
fine.
Paper coasters.
Yeah, but then I got to talk to people. Anyway, the main crux of this is him them going on the tail end. Hey, this could either go really well, or this could take a step back and go south. That's the part that I was like, okay, you gave me a whole bunch of good stuff here for about a minute and 30, and I'm feeling outstanding. And then at the tail end, you go, this is a really important year. This could all click into place this year. It could be great, or... That's the part I'm uncomfortable with. That's the part that I'm not head over heels on, is just the fact that it was on the end going, maybe not. Maybe not. We'll see. I hope this thing clicks. I hope it is everything that we wish it is. The things that scare me, Aaron Schatz also telling us, hey, Ken Dorsey came in here to redo this offense. Ken Dorsey doesn't moonlight in this offense. This is his major. This is what this guy does. But Kevin Stefanski is still calling the plays. And as long as Stefanski is calling the plays, it's still a Stefanski offense.
Which I'm okay with in the beginning of the game. It's when the game – it's when you can't script those plays. It's when you got to start changing and deviating from what your original plan was. You can't tell me that Kevin Stefanski doesn't know what he's doing in the beginning of the game. I think he's fantastic.
I think he's a great play caller. I know everybody will go, you're not a great play caller. Don't give the ball to Nick Chubb enough. You know, like, I get that. I know. It's really easy when you're playing Madden to hit Nick Chubb up the middle.
It does feel that way sometimes, though.
I get that. They have a plan for Nick Chubb to make sure that he can run for an extended period of time and doesn't get ground into dust. And there are times that I wish they would deviate from that plan a little and go, yeah, you know what? Here, we'll worry about you grinding to dust later. But, like, I can't scream at the guy for this. I can't lose my mind over those certain things. I think the guy's a really good play caller. I've seen enough of wide receivers running wide open down the field and quarterbacks not being able to hit them or hitting them beautifully in stride to think that this guy doesn't, you know, to think that this guy knows what he's doing.
I don't know. I, let's go back to the original point. The original point of this conversation was look at the roster and tell me how you feel about it. You know, I was talking to somebody yesterday, and they were like, oh, well, you know, can they stop the run? And I'm like, yeah, they can stop the run. They should be able to stop the run. Should this team not be able to stop the run? I just need them to look.
They were able to do it last year.
Yeah, somebody said it to me yesterday. I was just like, are you serious? I mean, I'm like, we have Myles Garrett. We have... You know, Za'Darius Smith.
You get the big old boys in the middle.
As long as Tomlinson's, you know, healthy, you're good. Shelby Harris, you're good. You know, and then we didn't talk about the defensive backs. I hope they don't have to step up to the line and make plays all the time. But I last year, I sat there and I looked at Jeff before the season started. I'm like, our defense is really good. And he was like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. They were really good. I wish we could have that playoff game back again. But then again, you know, they only had to protect... When you come out there and you only have 40 yards and no slack at all to make even a tiny mistake, other teams are going to score on you.
I'm not worried about the defense. Even if the defense takes a half step back, I'm not worried about the defense. I think this defense walks out of the season being a top 5-7 defense easy. And the question that I have is, can the offense be an upper half of the league offense and not broken for 8 weeks and then re-put together with scotch tape and duct tape with a quarterback that came off the street whipping the ball down the field and hoping for the best? That's my thing. Can this offense not be broken?
All right, when we come back, I'm going to talk about a survey that was taken by the general managers. Their thoughts on the Browns included in this. You'll find that out next when we come back. 216-474-0092. 216-474-0092. Browns are practicing in Berea today. Hopefully we'll hear from Denzel Ward, who's been, you know, dealing with concussion protocol. So he's going to speak a little bit today. Hopefully we're gonna dip into his press conference a little bit too. And I think I said general manager. I meant agent survey about the Browns and what agents think about them. So get me up to speed, because like I realize that in the past the team got ripped pretty good for their facilities and stuff, and they've done major upgrades, including on the weight room out in Berea based on some of these surveys. But that might have been a player survey.
Yeah, so that's the player survey.
Yeah, so what's this one about?
So this is the Athletic will do this every year, and they'll grab 30 agents from around the league. You know, the guys who are negotiating contracts, occasionally leaking information to beat reporters. You know, that kind of, those kind of people. The okay. The shadowy figures in the background that we don't talk about who have power.
Oh, the shadow knows.
Well, you know, you always have to look to the shadowy figures because those are the ones who are really pulling all the strings. Yes. So, The Athletic did this report, and it's so funny because you're so used to seeing the Browns all over these things in various ways of, oh, they're a mess. I don't know who to talk to. I don't know about this. I don't know about that. And you go through this report on The Athletic, and one thing takes place that we're really not used to, which is that the Browns are nowhere to be found, really.
Wait, what?
Yeah. So the best run franchises: Eagles, Niners, Chiefs, Packers, Vikings, Steelers, Ravens, Dolphins, Texans, Rams, Lions, Falcons, Colts, Bills. That's it of the 31 responses.
Wow.
Most unstable franchises.
Oh, we got to be in there, right?
Panthers, Raiders, Jets, Jags, Cowboys, Cardinals, Broncos, Commanders. So you're smack dab in the middle.
Well, that's okay. That way, I don't know that we've been here before.
That's a really good place to be. I'm thrilled with that if I'm a Browns fan. It's like, all right, cool. Like, we are right there in the middle. People see us as a stable organization, not as an organization that is a mess. And, like, how many times have we had these conversations where we're shaking our heads going, oh, my God, this organization is such a mess? You know, and we're doing that.
It's normally on Sunday mornings before the game. Some national reporter has, at least it hasn't
cough,
been.
Cough, Jason Lockett for a cough, cough.
Yeah. Right?
Oh.
I mean, God, do you remember all those, especially when Hugh was here? Every Sunday there was a breaking news story about something that was just so messed up for the Browns that week. You're like, I can't believe that we're even talking about this. And yet we're talking about this like minutes or hours before a game started. And then it made the story bigger than the game every week.
It was always such a mess. You know, I used to do the pregame show for the Browns tailgate on 92.3 The Fan before these games started. And it was so funny because it was usually right around 9:20, somewhere in there. You would get the Lock and Fora news drop about something happening inside of the Browns facility that was just ridiculous. And you could basically just write it in stone. And it was usually after about week 8 that you could start really writing it in stone of, you know, there are whispers coming out about the overall quality of Freddie Kitchens and people aren't buying into Seneca Wallace. And like, it would be all sorts of stuff like that. And you were just like, oh, can you people just hush? Like, can someone just not say anything for a week? But no, that's not how it goes. So the Browns not in there. Great to see. Not one of the best, not one of the worst. Right in the meaty part of the curve, right in the middle. This question here, which GM or front office leader do you trust most?
Okay.
And again, this is from agents. We're getting this right off of The Athletic. The first one is Elliot Wolf, got 4 votes. Brett Veach, who is the Chiefs general manager, he got 3 votes. By the way, Elliot Wolf, for those of you who don't know, the Patriots executive vice president of player personnel, GM, whatever you want to call him. Nick Caserio, who is the Texans GM, he got a couple votes. Omar Khan for the Steelers, their general manager, got a couple votes. The Commanders general manager, Adam Peters, he's brand new to that position. He got 2 votes. Others had 18 in there. One of those names mentioned in there? Andrew Berry. Andrew Berry. Agent said it was the GM or front office leader that you trust the most. Nice to see.
Look at that.
Yeah, makes you smile on that one.
A little bit of respect. Not too much respect, but a little bit of respect. A
little bit down the way, who is the best general manager? Andrew Berry got a vote in there, too.
Wait, can you vote for yourself?
He was not in this. This is for agents.
Oh, that's right. Agents did it. That's right.
Yes. Yes. So he's that. Unless he is negotiating for himself.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
I keep thinking this is a general manager thing. No, it's agents.
Well, that's good for him,
heck
right?
Yeah.
You don't want to be the team that the agents have to talk to. I can't talk to them. I don't want to talk to them. Why do I got to talk to these guys? What are we doing here? Why do we have to talk to the agent? What? You don't want to be that, right? Either way.
You want to be easy to work with. You want to be fair.
Yeah.
You want to maintain those relationships with agents because you don't want to cut off a part of players. You know, you don't want to have the players just go like, well, I'm not dealing with that guy. That guy's insufferable. You know, you want those relationships. And it tells you that at least according to one agent, Andrew Berry is the guy you want to deal with and worth dealing with, one of the best GMs that's out there. So again, this is the Browns. The Browns, for many a year, were not on these lists.
No, are you kidding?
In the positive
Or if they
signs.
Were, they were all negative. Yeah, yeah.
It was the who's the train wreck. They're like, yep, yeah, right here.
All right, so Andrew Berry got one vote yeah. for best GM. We'll take it. Who won best GM?
Best general manager went to Brett Veach of the Kansas City Chiefs. Makes sense. You got a lot of Super Bowls and Patrick Mahomes.
And you just pay the bills.
Yep, yep.
That's all you got to do. How many? Did it say how many votes he had?
He had 6. Howie Roseman with 5, the Eagles general manager, Andrew Berry learned a whole lot from.
Let's be honest. It's still not, when you say 6 out of 32, it's not like anybody's sweeping these awards, right? So it means that, you know, you take the top guys and they're kind of in a mix. And if you got a vote itself, that was probably, you know, it's just an honor to be nominated.
Mm-hmm.
Or an honor to be looked at by some of these agents. Although I don't know how many general managers care what the agent has to say, right? Let's be honest. I mean, agents are just in the way for a general manager. If the general manager had their choice, they would just talk to the player directly. Right?
Yeah. This to me is a positive. Like, I know you would love to see, you know, those ones at the very top of who is the best organization, you know, and all of a sudden the Browns are right there sitting at 2, sitting at 1, all that stuff. You'll get there. This is building blocks. It's steps. The fact that you are not at the bottom is gargantuan for this team. It is absolutely awesome for them.
I wonder how many of those, the top vote getters, their team, did they make the playoffs last year? Because let's face it, winning cures everything.
Oh gosh, isn't that the truthful statement?
It just cures everything. I'm curious to that too. So, but it is nice to hear the Browns actually get some good news about some of this stuff, because it just doesn't happen.
No,
like we talked about the players survey last year, where they just got the Browns got shredded for their weight room. Shredded. Now, now they built a brand new weight room out there, and everyone's like, wow, this is like one of the nicest weight rooms in the NFL.
And let's be 100% honest when it comes to that one. Like, if your weight room is the back 10 yards of the indoor practice facility and you just have weights all over the grass or the turf that's out there,
there is something to work.
It's not exactly a high-class weight room.
But as long as you have the weights that they need and they're high-end, you know, it's high-end equipment where you can feel safe using the equipment, does it really matter if you're in a kind of a situation that's a little gritty where you're working out on a practice facility?
Oh, it's all a matter of perspective. I mean,
and if you're winning, then we just say, well, our guys just get down and dirty.
I mean,
right?
think of the
blue collar workouts.
Especially if you're a public school kid. Think of the weight rooms that you went to when you were a high school public school kid. Like
converted wrestling room. That's what ours was, yeah.
That was ours as well. It was horrible. It smelled terrible. There was no ventilation in there whatsoever. Like it was one of those stenches that I don't think could ever be replicated ever, because it was an old wrestling room that then got turned into the weight room with no ventilation. So I mean, you're talking layers upon layers of body odor and sweat. So you got to think that these guys finding their way into college, and you see these college weight rooms,
and
it's just stupid.
I always think it's crazy when you see the weights, and they've got like the school's logo embossed into the weights, and you know they're the same colors as what the school wants, and you know it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable to see some of these weight rooms.
It's nuts. It blows me away what these weight rooms look like. And so you think of that, and you're like, these guys are coming from college, and they're coming from Georgia, Alabama, LSU, Ohio State, all of that. And then you're back, not totally to where you were in high school, but like, here's the weights that are in the practice facility. You're like, this isn't great. And especially if you're like, let's say, Dalvin Tomlinson or Za'Darius Smith,
who probably have nicer weight rooms in their basement,
or go to the Palace in Minnesota.
Yeah.
And see what the Vikings have, and then turn that around, and you come here, and you're just like, oh my, this is like back to, again, this is back to my high school weight room. So, like, I could see where they would complain about such things, and while your point is 110% accurate, that we would all be like, yeah, the equipment is perfect. It runs well. It has all of these great things with it. You know, these guys are, they're spoiled. You know, they're, let's be real honest, they're spoiled.
It's true. That's all right. If they can win, we don't care if they're spoiled.
Yeah.
When they're losing, that's where we're like, well, I mean, what do you need weights for? Why don't you grab some rocks and move those
right,
around?
Right, exactly. Or build the Bill Belichick hill. Get him on the hill, you know?
At least that's gone. All right, let's come back. We're going to head out to Bria here at some point during the next hour. We're going to hear from Denzel Ward, who has been you know, out for a little bit because of concussion protocol. So we're going to hear from him. We have some other things we want to talk about coming up in the final hour. Like, how much money did that women's Final Four bring into the city? Did you see that number? If you didn't, we're going to talk about it. Coming up, Baskin and Phelps with Dan Menigan, 216-474-0092.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, oh, oh.